The Bible says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." You know, fear is dangerous too. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Dear Father, as always, I feel completely inadequate. And I know, Lord, that unless You use this frail creature of dust, unless the Holy Ghost speaks through me, that everything said here will be in vain. And so I pray, God, that because of Your mercy and through the blood of the Lord Jesus, I pray now that You'll take this weak, base, despised thing of naught and use it for Your glory. Lord, I pray You'd help some folks. Maybe there's someone here that's never been born again. It'd be a great time for them to get saved. And then, Lord, maybe there are people that live with certain kinds of fears. And what a blessing it would be if they could get victory today. And so I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would do the preaching and that Your people would get help and that You'd be glorified. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Has your wife ever made something sound a lot worse than it really was? No comment? Thank you, Brother Lee. I appreciate somebody being honest. Let me flip that a little bit. Have you ever killed a snake and made it sound a lot bigger than it was? I'm telling you, that thing was 6 feet long. Try three. Maybe two. You know, we're bad about that, aren't we? Would you agree with me that fear has a tendency to exaggerate? I'm telling you, that spider was as big as my hand. That's a big spider. We've got a mouse in our house. Its tail is 3 foot long. We say those things before we even think about how bad we're exaggerating, but when you're scared, you say things that maybe make it worse than it is. Wonder if any of that's going on in our country. Just wondering if some of that might be going on. We just have a tendency to let fear cause us to say things that probably, maybe, are not really 100% accurate. Y'all probably don't appreciate my sense of humor, but I heard about a man that was a farmer. He was a good man. He wasn't a bad man. He was a good man. And yet things were getting real tough. He was about to lose his farm. His wife was very sick and needed surgery. He didn't have the money for the surgery. He was trying to help his son through college. They were threatened to foreclose on his farm. He was just really in a bad way, and it lasted for quite a long while. And finally, at wit's end, in desperation, he decided to rob a bank. And so Man, the day came and he walked by that bank and he just couldn't get up the courage. And he had a bag for the money, he had a gun, and he walked by the bank about 6 or 7 times before he finally went in and nervously walked up to the teller and handed her the gun and pointed the bag at her and said, "Don't stick with me, this is a mess up." I knew some of you wouldn't appreciate that. You've said dumber things. We all have. Out of fear. We're all guilty, but we get mad when somebody else does it. Fear can cause problems worse than its object. The thing that you fear is not near as unhealthy as your fear. Your fear will create worse problems. Sometimes worse than the thing that you fear. Does anybody here really know what a pandemic is? I'd be willing to say you couldn't give me a dictionary definition. Because I looked up about half a dozen of them last night. Or yesterday. And I don't think anybody can define it. I know this. We had a pandemic weeks before anybody announced it. However you define it by the dictionary. I looked up several definitions. It was here long before anybody. When I think of pandemic, I think of pandemonium. And when you name it, all of a sudden it's worse than it was. Did you hear what I just said? Once you give it a name, it's like doctors telling you what's wrong with you. Man, they think you're dying and you've got an ingrown toenail, but they called it something you've never heard before. They got some fancy word for it. Oh no, what's that? Ingrown toenail. The word makes it sound worse than it is. Now, I'm not making light of the coronavirus. I want to make it loud and clear. I'm not making light of the coronavirus. I want no part of it. I hope nobody gets it. I think it ought to be looked at seriously. I think we need to pay attention to what's going on. And I would even like to help other people avoid the coronavirus. If I could help people not to get it, I want to be a blessing and help people not to get it. But at the same time, I do not want to be paralyzed by fear. I don't want to be handcuffed or ensnared or trapped or in bondage to fear. You ever heard these words? Everybody just stay calm. That's what I want to preach on today. That may not be the title, but everybody just needs to stay calm. Need to sort of get your bearings and sort of take a look at things from a common sense perspective. I want to talk to you this morning about fear. And I've got a really, really big favor to ask of you that some of you will not honor. I want to talk to you about fear, and here's my favor. Be honest with yourself. I'm not asking you to be honest with me. I'm not asking you to be honest with anybody sitting beside you. But will you be honest with yourself? As we talk about fear for a little while today, not all fear is bad. You know the famous statement made by FDR in 1933 when he said, "The only thing we have to fear is..." He was wrong. Sounded good, and he's got famous for saying it. But it's just not true. There's a lot of things I fear besides fear. Like a tornado. I don't like tornadoes. I've been really, really close to 3 of them now. Remember one of them, Amy? Yeah, Amy was with me when we were sitting on the side of the road and the truck was rocking back and forth like this, sitting in park. And we went about a mile down the road after it happened and just saw big old trees laying on the side, house after house completely destroyed, billboards blowing across the interstate. We were only a mile from it. Scared. Crying. And I know what you're thinking. That wouldn't have bothered me. That's why I ask you to give me that favor. Be honest with yourself. Some fear is productive. Some fear is protective. Some fear is almost like an instinct. It's a good thing you've got it. It just is good to be afraid at times. After Solomon in Ecclesiastes 12, after he looked at the brevity of life and the frailty of life and the vanity of life, he said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God." There's your good fear. You know what that word fear means when it says fear God? It means to be afraid of. Don't you? You appreciate that insight? Because now you got preachers saying, "Well, that doesn't mean fear like you think of fear. It just means to respect and to reverence God." It means to be afraid of God. Especially in the Old Testament context, which I'll get to maybe, Lord willing, a little bit later. But Solomon said, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Jesus said, "Fear not him which can destroy the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear him which is able to..." Listen. "Fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You ought to fear God. Are you afraid of death? Remember, the only thing I've asked of you is to just be honest with yourself. Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? When the thought of all of this coming to an end, and boy, when these kinds of pandemics come. Remember Y2K? Man, they weren't buying toilet paper. They were buying guns and gold. It's all going to come to an end. It's all going to come to a screeching halt. It's all over. Everybody was digging bunkers. If it were true that in the next year that 80% of the population of Smith County is going to be wiped out to a virus, are you ready? It's a fair question. Are you ready for your moment, brush, time of death? If that virus gets bad and all of a sudden thousands are dying in the state of Tennessee, are you ready? Fear not him that can destroy the body, but fear him that can destroy both soul and body in hell. If you take your last breath today, where are you going to be? If you're lost, that ought to strike fear into you. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ on a personal level, that ought to cause you to tremble. And that's a good kind of fear. If I was lost and on my way to hell, I'd be afraid to drive in Nashville. Amen. Fear can be a good thing. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Listen, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you don't have some fear, the Bible calls you a fool. Proverbs 3:7, fear the Lord and depart from evil. I couldn't call myself saved and do what I see some saved people doing. I'd be scared to death. When you live in sin, does it strike fear into your heart? When you're actually sitting there looking at pornography on that screen, do you not live in fear? The fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. I'll tell you the problem in America, people fear the coronavirus more than they fear God. There is no fear before their eyes, Romans 3 says. I could not be a politician in America in 2020 and say and do what they're doing now in this country about abortion and homosexual marriage if there can't be much fear of God or they couldn't possibly do those things. The Bible is abundantly clear. The fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. There are some healthy fears. But fear itself can be unhealthy. There are some healthy fears, but fear itself can be unhealthy. It's often related to stress and worry and tension. An aged man once said, "In all my years, I've had a lot of trouble. And most of it never happened." That's why I quoted the verse earlier, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. We can sit around fearing tomorrow and missing today. You know what I'd do if I were you today? I'd go home with my family and just thoroughly enjoy them. I'd enjoy my wife and my kids and maybe some other extended family and friends and have the time of your life. It is the Lord's day. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Corona might get you tomorrow, but you might as well enjoy today. Sure, there are some good fears, but then fear itself can be very unhealthy and it's related to stress and worry and tension. There's a lot of kind of fears. You know some of them. Acrophobia. What's that? Fear of heights. Decidophobia. The fear of making decisions. How you doing, Amy? I never knew that she had it. Decidophobia. Ergophobia. E-R-G-O. Phobia. Anybody know what that is? I know some people's got it. It's the fear of work. The fear of work. Hydrophobia. What's that? That's the fear of water. Claustrophobia. What's that? Tight places. Arachnophobia. Anuptophobia. That's a new one on me. Anuptophobia is the fear of staying single. We got some people that don't have that fear. Amen, brother buddy. How about, I didn't make this up. Homilophobia. The fear of sermons. Some of you got a bad case of that. Homolophobia. Probably the more common, maybe you didn't know the word, I'm not for sure, and I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right, thanatophobia. That's the fear of dying or death. One man said, it's not that I'm afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens. So there are some healthy fears. But you don't want to go through your life filled with fear. Amen. Controlled by fear. I had a brother that really, really had a problem with darkness. And not even darkness, but what you would call darkness at 10 p.m. We didn't have indoor plumbing until I was about 12. And that brother's about 7 years older than me. And I remember having to go outside with him 10 o'clock night because he had to go to the outhouse. You've been around people that are scared to death when you turn the lights out. And I didn't think I was afraid of the dark until I went into a cave and they turned the lights out. After about 60 seconds, you'll find out you're afraid of it too. But that's real darkness. Can't even see your hand right there. But you've been around people that have these certain kind of phobias or fears that are real and they're miserable all the time. And usually that means they get sick. I don't want to live my life allowing fear to dictate the decisions that I make rather than allowing faith to make my decisions. What is driving your decisions in your life? Is it fear or faith? Fear can be paralyzing. It can lead to very poor health. It can lead to bondage. It can lead to depression. Fear is real. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth what? Snare. Now that snare is, there's all kinds of snares, but a snare is a trap. Here's the way it's worded in Romans 8. Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's what Paul said, which lends itself to say that fear is a form of bondage. Are you following me? And it's a snare. It's something that holds you. There, one time a friend of mine, I was helping him do some trapping and he wanted to trap in a particular place, and he really didn't know what he was doing. David Bratcher used to do a lot of trapping, and he knew what he was doing. This guy didn't know much about what he was doing. You put traps where somebody else is going to get in the trap instead of the animal you're trying to get. And we caught a fox in that trap. And that trap had his leg. You remember those steel traps when they come together? And that fox, you couldn't get within. It'd scare you to death try to get close to that fox and let him out of that trap. You can't help a guy sometimes that's in a trap. He doesn't understand that he's in a trap. He doesn't even see the bondage that he's in. And man, that thing was angry and just, I mean, making those hissing sounds and growling sounds. And we had to shoot it. Didn't want to. We couldn't get near the thing. And so Paul says this spirit that we've been given, the Holy Spirit, is not the spirit of bondage. A bondage, you know what many people are in bondage to? Almost saying yes to God, but just afraid to. Do you realize how many Christians live on the verge of almost saying yes to God? I'm talking about saved people who know they need to witness to an uncle or an aunt or a cousin or a brother or a sister, who know they need to be able to pass out that tract or witness to the people they work beside every day, and they want to, but that fear comes and takes over. Have you ever personally experienced that kind of fear? I have. I don't want to make light of it because I know a lot of people have this kind of fear. Let me ask you this. Peter, that commercial fisherman. Peter, that fella that said, I'll go with you all the way to the cross. Why did he say to a little maid, I don't know the guy? Why did Peter say that? Why did Herod have John the Baptist killed? You know what the Bible says in Mark 6:26? For their sakes which sat with him. Some of you young people won't say certain things in certain places just because of who's sitting around you. Because of fear. Fear. I'm not picking on you. People battle this thing called fear. Why was Joseph of Arimathea a secret disciple? The Bible says because of the fear of the Jews. I could give you Bible example after Bible example of tragedies. Serious, terrible tragedies, miserable lives, missed opportunities, all due to unhealthy fears. We all battle them. Jesus said the day is coming. He said this when he was here the first time. When there will be distress of nations with perplexity, men's hearts failing them for fear. I believe that there's going to be more fear the farther we go down this road. And many of them unwarranted and unhealthy. Keep your finger here in 2 Timothy, would you please, and go to Psalm 37 for just a moment. Go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. All right, remember that favor I asked. Be honest with yourself. While you're getting Psalm 37, let me ask you something. What are you afraid of? What is it you're afraid of? Is it death? Is it the unknown? Is it your friends? Is it being rejected? Is it being laughed at? Ridiculed? What kind of fears do you face on any kind of regular basis? The Bible says here in Psalm 37, look at verse 1. Psalm 37, what's the first two words? Fret not because of evildoers. Look at verse 7. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Next two words. Fret not. Look down at verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Next two words. Fret not. Fret not, fret not, fret not. Now, fret is really not fear particularly or specifically as much as it is worry and irritation and anger. And if you look up the word fret, this sort of surprised me. The first definition said to eat away. That the word fret means to eat away. The more I studied that word, the more I realized that this kind of fretting is something that gnaws on you. Have you ever said to somebody, what's eating at you? Isn't that a weird way to say it? What's eating at you? Because you know something on the inside is eating away at them. I heard about a sign in a restaurant. It said, ulcers are not caused by what you eat, but by what's eating at you. Probably some truth in that. But right here in Psalm 37, I want you to notice something. You're given the remedy, or at least an option to fear. In Psalm 37, look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. The opposite of fear, the opposite of this irritation and anger and fear that we face is to trust and delight and commit and rest in the Lord. Rest is the opposite of fear, where you can just, nothing's eating at you. It's just, you're just resting in the Lord. Glory to God, I'm saved, going to heaven. Why should I worry and fear? But most of us never get there. I was suicidal for 3 months until I finally realized Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My mind, my head, my emotions, everything about me, I felt like I was just going to explode at any given second. And then I prayed and laid it all in His lap. Amen. And found some peace that I had not had. I didn't know that kind of peace. You got that kind of peace today? Trust in the Lord. Somebody said happiness is not tapping into God's provisions, but into His purpose. That when you get caught up in living for Him, that's where you find satisfaction and peace. Fear is related to bondage. It's a snare that holds you and restricts you. I don't know, I meant to ask my wife about this, but several years ago, in her, I'm guessing, 40s, I'm guessing, but there was a time in Rhonda's life where she got to where she would just almost tremble at crossing a bridge. Do you remember when that happened? It just come out of nowhere. Cross bridges all her life, never think a thing about it, and all of a sudden going across the old bridge, just, and I'm not talking about because it was the old bridge. Any bridge. Anybody ever had anything like that happen to you? Isn't that a miserable feeling? I can close my eyes and put myself in places I've been before and get nervous and start sweating. Like high places. Certain places that are scary and frightening. And you just overcome with fear. People, honestly, and it's mostly young people, but not all young people, peer pressure is fear. Is it not? What else can you call it? It's like being afraid that they're going to reject you or not like you. You won't fit in. You remember why Pontius Pilate turned Jesus over to that mob that day? The Bible says it was because he was willing to content the people. Isn't it a shame how many times we will deny Jesus Christ in order to content those around us? Afraid that they will not like us, afraid that they'll get upset with us. Don't bring that up. Well, why think you're holy or something? Or you must be one of those holier than thou people. Why do you bring that up? And we're afraid to mention Jesus Christ for fear. We won't talk about him around certain people. We won't mention his names. It's a form of fear. It's a snare. It's bondage. It's why a lot of people smoked for the first time. I remember the first time I smoked. I was probably 9 or 10 years old. Little old bitty fella. My parents smoked. Most of my brothers smoked. And I never liked it. I never liked the smell of it. I hate the stuff. I hate smoking. But you go out and camp out. When we camped out, it meant going out in the field and laying a blanket on the ground and laying down on top of it. That's how you camped out. Woke up, froze to death and miserable, and then talked all day about how much fun you had. That's the way we did it. It's just terrible. No fun at all. And several of them boys were a lot older than me, and we went out and got a bunch of cigarettes. I won't tell you how we got them. They called it stealing. I didn't think it was stealing. And man, they're lighting them cigarettes up and offering me one. And you know, you feel intimidated. You feel... Now, how many of you don't you think about this? Here I am. And so I finally light one up, and then you try to look like you know what you're doing. You're a little boy. That's what you are. There's nothing worse than a little boy trying to look like he's not a little boy. He's trying to look like he's a man. So then I start doing this. And they said, inhale it. I said, what? Inhale it. Do this. You got blood out the side of your mouth. And so I did. About 2 packs. One right after the other. My stomach's churning. My head's swimming. Now, how many of you think that's stupid? And they said, it's good, ain't it? And I said, yeah. Lied like a dog. How many of you raise your hand and say, brother, that was stupid? It's just as stupid for you to listen to music you don't like. It's just as stupid for you to watch movies you really don't want to watch. It's just as stupid for you to do some of the stuff you do. Why? Because of fear. The fear of rejection, the fear of not fit, whatever kind of fear you want to call it. I don't know what the word is. It's why some people drink a beer for the first time. You didn't drink it because you liked it. And when you said you liked it, you lied like a dog. Everybody okay? Don't tell me you liked it. You had to make yourself learn how to like it. That's why so many people now are addicted to drugs or pornography. It was fear. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But the Son shall make you free. What a choice. What a choice. The fear of man or trust in Jesus Christ and Him giving you freedom. I've had young people tell me, Brother Ron,
I finally just started listening to that music and learning the lyrics because I was the only one that didn't know them. And it was awkward not knowing those songs. And it was awkward not seeing those movies. And it was awkward, and so I learned because of the fear. They admitted it to me. So why don't you be honest with yourself today and say, wow, how foolish. I'm going to stop that mess. And by the way, we're not just talking about youth. You know that. Every man in here knows it. I don't know how many men I've known, good men, real men. I'm talking about real men. I'm talking about moral men. I'm talking about hard-working men. I'm talking about men that I admire. I'm not talking about bad men. But I'm talking about men who are good men. They worked hard. They're willing to put in 10 or 12 hours a day on the job. They're willing to defend their family. They'd fight a bear to protect their children. They'll scream and yell at a ball game and don't care what anybody thinks about them. They'll go to the bank and borrow $150,000 and sign their name to it. That'd scare me. But then the Lord will nudge him one day standing outside of Walmart or TSC or the hardware store. Won't you witness that guy? Whew. Oh, man. Oh. Huh? What is that? It's fear. Is it not? It's a terrible thing. The Lord says on Sunday night, why don't you get up and give your testimony? Why don't you pass out some tracts? And fear dictates your decisions. So, let's go to our text, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. We often quote verse 7. I've heard it quoted a lot in the last week. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm going to tell you something. There have been times in my life where that verse just didn't seem true. I didn't feel like I had a spirit of power. I didn't feel like I had a spirit of love. I felt like I had a spirit of fear. And so we quote this verse a lot, and it's a great verse, but what's the first word? For. So it's connected to the previous verse, isn't it? For God. Why did Paul say for right there? In verse 6, he says to Timothy, wherefore, look at this, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Is it possible that fear causes you to forget some things? Like the hand of God upon your life. It looks like that. That's why Paul makes this statement. It's as if Timothy, due to fear, had forgotten the hand of God on his life, had forgotten the blessings of God on his life. You can get so occupied with your fear and focus on your problems and focus on the dangers and worry about what might happen and think so much about the news media and the coronavirus that you forget that God will take care of you. That nothing's going to happen by surprise. Nothing's going to shock Him. Anything that happens to you, He allowed it. And we tend to forget that. Sometimes our fears are because we sort of think God's on vacation. We get focused on the problem, do we not? He said, Timothy, I'm gonna stir you up and remind you of some things. You remember Israel when they saw the giant and they're all hiding behind the rocks because they saw how big the giant was compared to themselves? David showed up and saw how small the giant was compared to God. They forgot God. You get your eyes on your giants and you'll forget God. There's a lot of giants we face in this life. I'm not making little or light of the giants. There's some real battles in life. We talk about disease. We talk about cancer. We talk about death. We talk about all kinds of things. A job loss. The economy tanking. But don't get your eyes on the problem and forget God. So he says, God's not given us the spirit of fear. Fear seems to be related to forgetfulness. Someone said that in light of Romans 8, fear is mental illness. And I think there's some truth to that. But then, verse 8, he said in verse 6, I'll put thee in remembrance, but then verse 8, after verse 7, he says, be not thou, and I get this, therefore. He's talking to Timothy. And we always elevate Timothy, and we should. And Timothy was a great young man of God. But Paul tells him, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And then he says this, nor of me, his prisoner. You know, normally any time we would read a verse like that, we would assume, therefore, that Timothy had battled, perhaps, been ashamed. Or not only ashamed of the Lord and didn't give his testimony maybe when he should have, but ashamed of his pastor. I don't want to mention where I go to church. How about it? I don't want to mention what we believe. You know, it'd be a shame to come to Cornerstone and enjoy the blessings of God, but then almost be embarrassed to be a part of it. Because we have convictions and we have standards and we believe the King James Bible and we believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. We believe in eternal security. We believe, and you fill in the blanks. Why would you be ashamed of that if it's a Bible belief? Now, I'm not suggesting that's what's going on here, but that's what this verse reminded me, that for some reason Paul is saying to Timothy, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And so he explains that in verse 6. And in this verse he says, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Don't be ashamed of the people that you associate with in the Lord. Gifted, Timothy, but maybe a little afraid. Let me ask you a question. If you're saved, would you just say amen?
Amen.
Then does the one living inside of you not give you victory over anything outside of you? Is it not true that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? Why do we have some of these fears we have? Did you know that the fear of failure leads to failure? Quite often, the fear of failure leads to failure. In Matthew 25, the Lord gives out those talents, and one guy went and hid his. Why? He said, I was afraid. That's what he said. He said, I did it because I was afraid. Listen, and do what you want to with this, but in 1 Timothy 5, right before you come to 2 Timothy, Paul gives Timothy a remedy for his oft infirmities. I wonder if Timothy might have had some fear issues. Fear leads to sickness. Quite often. I'm not suggesting that's why he said it. I'm telling you that there is a truth in that, that fear leads to a lot of health issues. I'm almost through. Let me clarify, and then let me try to show you what I think would help all of us if we could get a hold of it. Some fears are legitimate. I just want to clarify some things. Some fears are legitimate. If I see a tornado, I get afraid. I've seen two. I better take it back. I saw one for sure, and I was about 14 years old. And it was way out there, scared us to death. But you know what? When the tornado passes, the fear passes. That's not too bad. If I'm working in my garden, and all of a sudden I see this going through, okay? But it passes. It's the spirit of fear that gnaws at you and eats at you and keeps you awake and affects your spirit and your emotions during the day, and it makes you irritable and it depresses you and it paralyzes you. That's the kind of fear we're talking about. That's not good, is it? There are legitimate fears, but there are some that are not. It's a bondage kind of fear. It hangs on you, and it's no good. It's paralyzing. It's a problematic kind of fear. And with that in mind, Paul says, Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but three things, and I'll be through. Number one, a spirit of power. Now, do we believe what the Bible says? Okay, so why do we fear? We fear because we face something that we think we don't have the resources to overcome. Did you get that?
We fear because we face something that we don't think we have the resources to overcome. Did y'all ever have any bullies when you were in school? I grew up around bullies. That's because when I was going to school, if you didn't pass, you failed. So I went to the seventh grade with a guy 16 years old. When a guy drives to school in the seventh grade, you got a problem. Okay? I always felt intimidated. I wasn't shaving, and he's got a beard. Y'all, that's in Alabama, Brother Mark. You can identify with this, can't you, brother? And he's always walking up to people, literally grabbing them around the collar. Give me your money! You know what everybody did? Gave him the money. But one night at a ball game, he came towards me, and my big brother was sitting beside me. And I wasn't afeared of this bully. I saw him coming, I just grinning from ear to ear. I had my big brother with me. And I got him with me all the time now. And I worry about a bully. We forget our big brother. Don't we? We think that we don't have what it takes to overcome this thing that we fear, and the Lord Jesus Christ lives within us. The Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives inside of me. We need to get a hold of that on a 24/7 basis. David said in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though an host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear." And then he said in the latter part of that chapter, get this, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And you don't understand wait. Most Christians don't understand wait. Wait is like a waiter. It means serve the Lord. And as you yield to the Lord, as you say, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to do this because You told me to," He'll strengthen you. But if you fear it and never go forward waiting on the Lord, serving the Lord, you're going to live in fear the rest of your life. But the moment you step out there to do what He tells you to do, He'll strengthen you. The moment you step out there to do what He told you to do, He'll build your strength and He'll build your confidence. That's what it means when it says, "Wait on the Lord and He'll strengthen thee." Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." Please get this. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." When I watch some Christians live the lives they live, I know they don't fear God. Because they're afraid to serve Him, and they're afraid to do right, and they fear rejection of man more than they fear disappointing their Savior. Psalm 19:9 says, "The fear of the Lord is clean." And so, Paul says, God's not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, and then this, a spirit of love. A spirit of love. And I struggle with this, and I really do. And I struggle with the verse I'm going to give you in 1 John chapter 4, where it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out" what? Fear. I don't quite understand that verse. I've preached it so many different ways that I think there probably are two ways to preach it, and both are right. But I don't know of anybody that has perfect love other than my Lord. You know what I think Paul might be trying to tell Timothy, and what Paul might be trying to tell us today? Even though I struggle with this verse, you know what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2? It says when the Lord died, that he also died to deliver those Old Testament saints. And then it says this, "who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Do you understand that in the Old Testament a lot of what you see is them doing right because of fear? You understand when those priests put on those garments and they said he had bales around his garment on the bottom of that ephod, that he put those bales on there because he went in there with fear and trembling into the presence of God. I mean, he was scared to death. When they went in there where the presence of God was and the cherubim and all that and the mercy seat where God was, you went in there just fear and trembling. And they put those bales on him because if he did something wrong, touched something he wasn't supposed to touch, or didn't apply the blood, he'd immediately drop dead and they'd pull him out of there. Had a rope tied to him. A lot of what they did in the Old Testament was out of fear. But then Jesus came. And I can walk into His presence Perfect love casteth out fear. I'm blessed with four good children. They're all adults now, all married. But I haven't forgotten what it was like to be a daddy to a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old. And I just, since Jacob's on the front, I'll use him this morning. When Jacob was, Jacob had a desire to please. Okay? But there were times when Jacob was about, let's say 3 or 4. When he was 3 or 4, and I'd snap my fingers and, you know why he did what I said? Because he feared me. But then he got 13 and 14. And you know why a lot of times he did what I said? Because he loved me. He didn't do it out of fear. He did it out of love. Don't spend the rest of your life serving God out of fear. Serve Him because you love Him. Because you don't have to live with the kind of fear they had in the Old Testament. I understand we're to fear God, but I'm going to tell you something. He loves me. Can I remind you that if you mess up, He still loves you? Okay? So don't fear failure. Get out there and do it. And when you mess up, say, I'm sorry. And He's going to say, I appreciate you trying. Let's do that again. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and the spirit of love and the spirit of a sound mind. I think that sound mind might be illustrated with Paul in verse 12 when he says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. That sound mind knows that I don't have to spend my life worrying about losing my salvation. I don't have to spend my life wondering if God still loves me. I don't have to spend all of my days fearing the one who died for me. We sing a song, there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. Do you know what God told Moses one time? He said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Moses had a little bit of a fear problem, didn't he? God said, I'll go with you, and I'll give you rest. Church, listen to me. That's mental, emotional rest. Not living in fear. God says, I don't want you to live in fear. I want you to live with a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Would you agree with me in the day we live in, there's more stress, more tension, more worry, more fear than we've ever seen before. People on edge, people anxious, people fretting. The Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. When you fear, is that not a lack of faith? When you fear, is that trust in God? Do you believe God can take care of you? Do you believe God can equip you to do whatever He tells you to do? Do you believe He can help you to overcome whatever it is you're facing? Proverbs 14:26 says this, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. This will be a terrible illustration, but it's the most personal I know of. The guy that ordained me said, I asked him, you know, are you scared when you get in the pulpit? And he'd been preaching for a long time. He said, let me tell you something. If you ever get in the pulpit and you're not scared, you're in trouble. But I have preached to thousands of people. I've preached to liberal people. I've preached to places where I knew the Lord wanted me, but I didn't want to be there. Is that honest enough for you? And as I yielded to God and got in the pulpit and opened the book, whatever God needs, whatever I need, that's when God gives it to me. When you say yes to Him, then He'll help you to overcome that fear. But if you continue to not serve Him because of fear, you're never going to know that confidence, that power, that unction from on high. Say yes. And if you're here today and you've never been saved, you better fear God. Let's all stand with heads bowed.